Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest that you tell God you want to learn His truth and you want to live by it. God, as was the message of communion and of even our singing today, we're super thankful that you forgive our sins so that we can be right with you and have eternal life in heaven. But God, we also know from your word that we are supposed to live for you in this life, not just look forward to eternal life. And God, as the message is today, it's asking us, you're asking us really to change the way that we think and the way that we live in this life now to honor you. And so I pray, God, that we would accept your truth and live in line with it here on earth in honor of you, our God and Savior. Help us to do that by your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our culture is presently trying to give value to women by making them the same as men, including trying to put them on par with men in physical strength. Women are supposed to be valued and treated well, but we don't have to make them the same as men to achieve that. We just need God's values. We need to hold His values. God has created women differently than men. And the man or the woman doesn't have more value over the other because of the differences. But because men have been generally treated with more physical strength, and in God's systems, men have been given leadership responsibilities, men use their power, physical and positional, to mistreat women. And that is an abuse of the power that God has given us, men. That is not to happen according to God and His values. And in fact, if we mistreat women, it hurts our relationship with God. We like to tend to think, as a Christian, there's nothing I can do to hurt my relationship with God. That's not true. This passage is going to tell us otherwise. And so, man, if we care to have a good relationship with God, we need to make sure that we treat women right according to what God says. Please open your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. Way at the back. I had a hard time almost flipping this far back because we've been in Hosea for so long. And I was like, wow, I need to keep flipping. 1 Peter chapter 3. Today's passage is written directly to husbands. But those of you who aren't husbands, don't check out. All men, even singles, there is an important principle in here for us to hear that about how we view and treat all women. In fact, what Peter does is he takes a general principle that's true about women, specifically Christian women, but there's even application outside of that. There's a truth about them that is generally true, and then he uses that truth and applies it to husbands. And so I think we can take that truth and just apply it with how we think about women generally. And single ladies who might be here in this at home, I don't think there's any in here, but should consider only marrying a man who would live consistent with these principles. But also everybody needs to hear the truth of every passage that's ever preached, whether it's directly applicable in your life or not, for multiple reasons. One, so that you can reject messages that the culture is putting forth that are inconsistent with God's truth. And you can recognize that those messages are coming into your life every day, and so you need to actually work to change your thinking and keep it according to what God says. And two, we all need to be able to give good biblical counsel to others on any subject. Three, we need to be able to teach biblical principles to our kids on any subject. And so we need to know these truths. Please look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 while I read. Likewise, you husbands, be living with your wives according to knowledge as a weaker vessel, the female, showing them honor as also fellow heirs of the grace of life, so as not to hinder your prayers. So you can see right there, this the general principle is right in the middle. As a weaker vessel, the female. And so that's a general principle about females, about women, that he's then applying. And there's also kind of another general principle, if you will, that they are fellow heirs of the grace of life, true of Christian women. And so he takes those two truths and he applies them to husbands. But we're going to talk about those just as truths generally and how we should change our thinking around those. But he starts out with the word likewise, which means this relates back to what Peter has previously taught. And I think that refers back in two different ways, to the immediate context prior and to the bigger context of the whole book. The context of the whole book of 1 Peter is Peter is encouraging Christians to change all of our ways of thinking and all of our behaviors away from the world's ways and to God's ways. That we should be in this constant process of our sinful lives and our sinful thinking and the culture's influences on us all the time, moving from that thinking and the behaviors that come out of it to God's thinking and behaviors flowing out of those. And this takes us our whole life that we're moving over in that process and reminding ourselves when we jump back to stay over here in God's ways. And the thinking and corresponding behavior taught to husbands here also is part of the context of this therefore. Right prior to the verse that I just read you, it's talking directly to husbands. And what it says to husbands would be super revolutionary because of what it just said prior. So right prior to this, it says that husbands, basically, you're the leaders of your households. You're the leaders of your wives. And they're supposed to submit to you. So with that truth, that's God's truth, men might tend to go, yeah, I'm the leader. My wife submits. She serves me. And he qualifies it right away and goes, hold on a second. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the right perspective. That's not the right thinking. And what he does say to husbands here, like I said, would be super revolutionary in that day, and I think it's just as revolutionary in our days. Hopefully many of us husbands and just men are already thinking and behaving these ways, but I'm sure that we all have room to grow and we need reminders of these things. So, this passage, like I said, it has this likewise. It relates back to this immediate context and in which we are supposed to be caring most. This is the immediate context that we're coming out of, caring most about pleasing God with our behaviors. So, man, this passage talks about how to think about and treat women, and specifically our wives. And so we might go, okay, I need to do this for my wife because I love her. But the most important reason that you would do it is because of your relationship with God. And I'll tell you, I've got a great wife. I've got a great marriage. I do love my wife, and there are things that I'm motivated to do for her because I love her and because she's a great person. But I don't primarily do this kind of stuff, sacrifice and honor her and all that. When I'm thinking about those things, my primary motivation for doing the things that I do for my wife is I want to please God. When there's a moment, and it could just be something small, like when I feel like I should do the dishes, even though that's something my wife normally does, I should do the dishes. And inside me goes, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the dishes. I don't usually go, oh, but my wife is so great, I'm going to wash the dishes. Honestly, what motivates me is this. I go, God wants me to do it. God wants me to sacrifice for my wife. And a lot of those occasions, I feel like God's even the one prompting me. Do it. Do this thing for her. And that's the thing that motivates me. And that's not a wrong motivation. That's a right motivation, that we would care most about pleasing God with our behaviors. And this passage is telling us something that's converse to that, in that if you don't want to please God in this, and so therefore you don't treat women the way God wants us to, it puts a barrier in your personal relationship with God. There's like a, and this isn't taking away your salvation, it's not taking away God's love of you, but it puts a relational barrier between you and Him. So, husbands, be living with your wives according to knowledge as the weaker vessel, the female. Your translation may say, live with them in an understanding way or a considerate way. And those words are helpful. They're trying to help us apply this truth to our lives. And so those are fine translations. But the phrase here is literally, be living with them according to knowledge. And so living with our wives needs to be based on truth that we know. And that's what Peter's going to give us, is he's going to tell us a couple things that are true. We're supposed to let those bury in our minds, and then that affects how we live. And so there are two facts, two truths to know given in this verse. The first is, the female is generally a weaker vessel than the male. We need to know that. We need to accept that so that we act out of it. And the second fact that's given is in the passage that we should know is, female Christians are fellow heirs of the grace of life. So those are two things we're going to go through, try to really get understanding in our minds so that then we can live out of those. There's another truth that's not in the verse, but it could be implied by the immediate context previous to this verse. And that truth is, husbands are supposed to lead their wives, and wives are supposed to follow their husband's lead. And so we're going to try to understand each of those truths, what they mean, and address how each of them affects how we husbands live, and even how we live just as men in relation to women. The passage, so that first one is, live with them in an understanding way or in a knowledge way. Here's the first piece of knowledge, that they are a weaker vessel. And the passage doesn't exactly tell us what this weakness is, so there's been all kinds of speculation. But wait a second, it actually does. There's a clue here. It qualifies it with the word vessel, weaker vessel. So it doesn't just say they're weaker, it says they're a weaker vessel. This word vessel would refer literally to like a dish or a vase that's made out of pottery, usually back in that day. But it often is used in the New Testament to refer to the human body. Now, there is some additional wording in the verse, which I will talk about later, that might indicate that Peter intends this word vessel as a metaphor, that the woman is to be viewed as a precious vase. We'll get into that. And while I do think that the metaphor was intended by Peter, I think he intends the other meaning as well, which is that vessel in the New Testament often refers to the physical body. Therefore, he's pointing out that women are typically physically weaker. Now, I know there's some women that could take me on and even take me out physically. But generally, we know this is true. It's not hard to observe when there's millions of people on the planet that women are generally weaker than men physically. The application of that is, husbands, knowing that our wives are weaker, we might use that power that God has built into us to abuse them. Or even, you may not go as far as abuse, but intimidate them. This is true of men generally also, even outside of marriage. There's men that intimidate women in their workplace. There's lots of sexual assault by men on women. But men, husbands, don't do it. God wants us to do the opposite of that. He wants us to show them honor. Is there any way that you can see intimidation or abuse being honor? No way. No way. And in fact, this word honor even means like the opposite of intimidation and abuse. The term honor means to show them respect, and it means that we benefit them. That's built into the word, benefit them. There is nothing respectful about intimidation and abuse. There is definitely not anything that benefits them in intimidation and abuse. It's the opposite, right? So living with understanding, in part, living understanding God's truth, this word understanding in the New Testament, this word with living with knowledge, that's what I was getting at. This understanding of living with knowledge in the New Testament is often translated understanding. So God's truth is, husbands, we are to be leaders in our marriage, right? We are to be the spiritual leaders. Our wives are supposed to submit to us. That's another thing that gets abused often by men thinking, oh, my wife's supposed to serve me. My wife's supposed to be cowering before me, whatever that thing happens to be. And this says, no, the way to live in understanding is not to use your power that way. The way to live in knowledge of what God says, that's not what God's saying, is that you use the power that He's given you of position to intimidate, to abuse them. It's exactly the opposite. You are to use your position of leadership to benefit them. And if we think about leadership generally, we get this. Like this in a marriage kind of easily gets accepted somehow, that the leader gets to lord over, you know, his wife. But if we think about most other realms of life where somebody is a leader, we expect the leader to benefit the people he's leading. Right? In your workplace, don't you expect the managers and the bosses to benefit their employees? They're supposed to be helping them to do their work well. Or, you know, one that's been out there as a big topic all the time for, it seems like, forever, but the latest season especially, is the president. Why does the president, not just our existing one, the previous one, the existing one, gets criticized a ton for what? Because people don't perceive him as benefiting the populace. That's what a leader's supposed to do, is benefit the people that they're leading. And so men, being told that we're the leaders of our wives is not like, okay, you've got this great power to use against them. It's the opposite. You're supposed to use the power of the position that you've been given to benefit them. And so both in the physical endowment that you've been given and in the positional endowment that you've been given, you're supposed to use that strength to benefit your wives, to benefit women. And so, I want to name a few ways that we can benefit our wives, drawn from Ephesians chapter 5, which is another passage about husbands and wives living together. This really, though, even though I'm going to teach you three points that I think are helpful from that passage, the primary reason I'm doing this is not to just teach us more. It's really because I want us to think. I want this to be an application section where I'm going to draw these three points from this other passage that are things that we can do as husbands. And after each one, I explain it, I'm going to give a pause for us to think, okay? So, husbands. Husbands are to do loving actions for their wives, even actions that are sacrifices for us, that we would consider a sacrifice. What do I base that on? Because Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's talking about his sacrifice on the cross. That's what he did for us, the church. And so husbands, we're supposed to use that as an example of how we love our wives. You've heard me say this before, if you've been here any amount of time, but one of my biggest challenges in life is that. Every day, asking myself, how do I love my wife like I'm dying on a cross for her? That's tough, isn't it? And so I want to add, but it doesn't have to be that big, because we're not literally dying on a cross. We're just using that as our model. And so it might be something as small as, like I mentioned previously, like, I don't want to do the dishes. Exactly. You don't want to do it, so do it. And it's a sacrifice. And so I want you to think, it might be huge, it might be something small. Think right now. What's one thing, husbands, that you could do for your wife that would be a sacrifice for you? Another thing in Ephesians 5 is it says husbands are to care for the spiritual needs of their wife, like teaching her God's word. But not even just teaching, that might be one way, like you sit down and you study the Bible with her or do a devotion or something together with her. But it says washing her with the word, like washing her with water. And the picture there is a bride that's getting washed up for her wedding, you know, being pure and all this stuff. And it says, husbands, we're supposed to wash them with the word to make them more pure, to make them better. So it's not just a formal teaching time, but like as we're having discussions with them about life, as we're having discussions about decisions in life, like should we move or should we buy a new car or whatever the decision happens to be, are we bathing those conversations and those decision things in God's truth? Or do you just argue with her about what you like and what you want, what she likes and what she wants, and you guys battle on that? If we bring God's truth into it, now we have a commonality, a thing that we should, as Christians, agree on. God's word is truth. God's word is good. God's word is helpful. And so if we bring biblical principles into it, now we have a basis for agreement. So I want you to think for a moment, guys. How can you do that in your marriage? Maybe it's some formal time in the word together, but maybe it's more just bringing biblical principles into your discussions. And then third, husbands are to love their wives by taking care of them like you take care of yourself. Paul in Ephesians 5 says, nobody ever hated his own flesh, but he takes care of it, right? Like I do these things on a daily basis, like brushing my teeth and taking a shower, and for me, like doing some kind of physical exercise. Those are all ways that I take care of myself. And so I'm supposed to, just like I wouldn't neglect doing those things for myself on a daily basis, there shouldn't be a day where I don't think about how do I take care of my wife and her practical needs. For sure, the other side of that, going back, is I would never, if I'm in my right mind, I would never abuse myself physically, right? And so it should be unthinkable that I would ever do that to my wife. But additionally, the ways that I take care of myself, I need to think about taking care of my wife. Like, this is for me. Your thing's going to be your own thing. But like for me, like I said, I like to work out. Most days I do something to take care of my physical body by working out, riding my bike, going to the gym, playing tennis, whatever it happens to be. And there have been a number of occasions where my wife just goes, hey, I'd like to go to this class that's at 5:30, and is that okay? And I go, in my mind, sometimes out loud, I go, I have plans at 5:30. No, that doesn't work. I don't want to work with the kids on their homework. I don't want to have to stay home. I got this. I don't want to have to focus on them. I got this thing I need to do. But based on this truth, I almost always say, yep, you go. I got it. I'll take care of it. Because I know that I would do that for myself. I bend things so that I can make time to go take care of my physical self. And so I'm going to bend things to sacrifice and make time to take care, to let her take care of herself, which is me taking care of her. And so, guys, I want you to think for a moment, what's a way that you might need to take care of your wife like you take care of yourself? Now, I want to mention one more idea that a lot of people think this is what Peter was intending. When Peter says she's weaker, they think emotionally weaker. I don't think that's what Peter was specifically talking about, because he has that weaker vessel. So physical is what I think he intends there. But I still think even if it's not what Peter meant, it's worth talking about for application sake, that women tend to be more sensitive emotionally. This can be a strength, actually. But some men consider emotional sensitivity a weakness. So therefore, if we're going to live in a considerate way, I think we need to understand how they generally are. That God has generally made them emotionally more sensitive. And so if we're going to live in an understanding way, we need to address them and deal with them as emotionally sensitive and not look at that as a weakness, but as something we need to be thoughtful of. And so your wife may be more easily hurt by your inconsiderate behavior, more easily hurt by your harsh words or by your criticism that we just go, you shouldn't be hurt by that. But God says, live with them according to knowledge. Know that that's the way they are, and it's okay. And God generally built them that way, and we need to live understanding to it. So try to honor them. Try to be more considerate of them. Don't talk to them harshly. And consider how you give them input so that they're not crushed by it. This is something I've personally had to work on. When I was, I am a critical person by nature. And some people hear that word and automatically think, that's terrible. But God uses my critical nature in a lot of really good ways, because I analyze things and I figure out what the problems are and I apply solutions. And God uses that in a lot of good ways. But early on in my marriage, that came out. Just, I would see things in my wife's life and they would just come flying out of my mouth. And it didn't matter where we are or who we were around. And so like we'd be sitting with a group of friends having dinner and I would just criticize my wife. Now, my wife takes my input very, very well and usually receives that and makes changes based on that. But do you think she wants to hear that in front of three other couples? I'll tell you, she doesn't. And your wife likely does not either. And so that was something that I had to go, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't mind her giving me that input in front of other people. Maybe it's a good piece of input to give her in her life, but I need to do it not in front of these other people. And so I've grown in that over the years. But now we've got these little people that are growing up in our house that are now becoming older and understanding what's going on. And I've recently realized, last couple years, that I can't do that in front of them either, in front of our kids. I would just, you know, spit out my input to my wife, and God convicted me of that, to live understanding of her. I need to write those things down and do it in private when we're alone. Or if I feel like I need to do it immediately, I need to grab her and say, babe, we need to go talk in a separate room away from our kids. And that's one of my ways of living this out, living honoring of her. And here's a reason why we owe honor to our wives, especially if they're a Christian. They are fellow heirs of the grace of life. In Christ, women are God's daughters, saved by grace to eternal life. They will have an inheritance from their Father in heaven, and all these things are the same as us men. And so the women aren't built the same as us. They're built generally physically weaker. God's systems, they're built to follow our lead. So they're not the same as us in all those ways. But here's ways that they are the same. They have the same eternal life. They have the same Father in heaven as we do. They'll be in heaven with equal position just as we are then. And so because of all these ways that they're the same spiritually, they are to be treated with honor. And I would even say, I don't think it was Peter's point. He was teaching Christian husbands and marriage how to live within their marriage well. But I want to broaden this out to just women generally. So maybe it's not a Christian woman, but you work with a non-Christian woman, or maybe you're married to a non-Christian woman. If we are treating them in intimidating and harsh and abusive ways, if we're treating women that way, do you think a non-Christian woman is going to go, hey, I want to know that Christ that you worship, Christian man? I don't think so. And so for both Christian women and non-Christian women, we need to change this if we're using our power wrongly. So husbands, even though you have been given the leadership position in your marriage, that doesn't make your wives less than you. It doesn't make them your servants or your punching bag. They are your equal. They are God's children just like you. They will have heaven as their inheritance just like you. We are to treat them in such a way that recognizes all of that. Now, even if you don't remember, I just had you think a minute ago about those three categories, and hopefully you came up with some very specific things that God might want you to do now to sacrifice and love your wives and that sort of thing. But even if you don't remember all those things going forward, because we've talked about a lot, I think now that you have, this is why God wants us to get our heads right. He wants us to know these things, because now that you know these general truths, it doesn't matter what situation you face in life, you can apply these truths to that situation. You can apply these truths to whatever woman happens to be in your life in that moment. And if you care about what God thinks and wants, I believe no matter what situation you face in your life or any woman, you can figure out what honoring them might look like if you were to stop and think. And that's why I believe Peter might have built in a metaphor, because it's easier for us to remember a truth when we have an image, at least most of us. And so remember I said that this word vessel can refer to a dish or a vase, something like that. Well, the word honor also implies valuable. And so I think we are prompted by Peter to imagine women to be like a valuable vase. So if you owned this, you would likely treat this very carefully. You would make sure that you don't break it. You treat it as careful. Some of you not. You'd take it out and shoot it with a .22 or something and think, how is it going to explode? But we should value and treat women, especially our wives, very carefully, very precious and valuable. honor them. But here's the kicker. It doesn't matter if your wife or a woman is your most valuable possession, like a vase might be that you would treat carefully, even if you'd want to shoot the thing. She is God's valuable treasure. She's God's vase, in a sense. Christian women are God's daughters and very precious in His sight. And so Peter teaches us to think about them and act toward them in these ways that we've been studying today. And if you don't, it will hinder your prayers. Like I said, if we're in Christ, we're not going to lose our salvation. We can't lose God's love. But if we think that nothing could cause tension between us and God, we are wrong. This says right here, so as not to hinder your prayers. In other words, your prayers could be hindered if you don't behave according to this knowledge that God is giving you. If you mistreat one of God's daughters, God won't be responsive to your prayers. Yikes. You could have a strained relationship with God based on how you wrongly treat women. So men, if you care about your relationship with God, if you want most to please Him, if you want to not have a barrier in your relationship with Him, you should search yourself any attitude, any thinking about women that is contrary to what we learned today. Search yourself and change. Change that thinking. If there's any way that you don't have the utmost respect for them, and give yourself to changing the behaviors. If there's any harm that you would bring to them, if there's any disrespect that you would bring to them, if you haven't been thinking about how to benefit them and acting on that, we need to change. One of the things that I'm going to do, I do this sort of thing often with questions that I ask my wife, but you might be able to use this as well. I'm going to use this occasion to ask my wife if she sees anything in me that's less than respectful and honoring of her, but also just of women generally. Maybe you would do the same. Maybe that's a way we can live with them in an understanding way too, is that when we don't understand, we just ask. Let's each pray to apply what we learned today. Let's pray. If there's any way that God has spoken to you during this sermon that you realize you've been mistreating women, or maybe even before the mistreatment, just the way that you thought wrongly about women, would you confess that to God and tell Him you want to make it right? If there's some way, a specific way that He moved you to act as we were considering today, would you tell Him that you want to do that, to honor Him, and ask Him to help you to do it this one time, to do it consistently, whatever it happens to be. Tell Him you want to and ask Him for His help. Lord, You are our leader. We are to submit to You. And there is no fear in me that You're going to mistreat me, that You would do anything that's bad for me. So it's easier for me to submit to You, because I know that You're good. I know that You love me. I know that You've sacrificed for me. Lord, I pray that we as husbands, and even just as men generally, that women would be able to look at us the same way. But this call on women to submission to their husbands, to men being leaders of the church, that sort of thing, would not be a problem for them at all, because we as men are seeking their benefit and their honor all the time. That they can see the good in your system. Because we, your men, that you've given tons of power to, are using it the ways that you want us to use it. God, may that bring you honor and glory from your church, starting with your men. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all those who agreed said, Amen.